Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Today, I am joined by my dear friend, Sylvie Beljanski, who is the best-selling author of Winning the War on Cancer. She's also the president and founder of the Beljanski Foundation, which is a nonprofit that conducts scientific research into natural cures for cancer. And she is the CEO of a supplement company called Maison Beljanski, which puts highly effective immune-enhancing supplements out into the world. She is on the Holistic Leadership Council with me and has become a dear friend and colleague over the last couple of years, somebody I've gotten to know very closely, somebody I respect and appreciate, and I'm very happy to have you back on the podcast, Sylvie. So thanks so much for coming back on.
Thank you, Nathan, for having me today. And I'm likewise delighted to work with you on different projects and be part of the HLC, which is really a great networking of intelligent minds, all involved in holistic medicine. To have you on the board of the Beljanski Foundation, I mean, we have this wonderful project of integrative cancer conference that we are now hosted last year in Jacksonville, and we look very much forward hosting the next one in Austin, Texas, in April 25. And I mean, you made it the first one a success, so I'm very much looking forward to what we are going to achieve together in Austin, Texas. And of course, I mean, all that would not be possible if you were not part of the board of the Beljanski Foundation, and it has been a pleasure to have you on the board for the past 2 years. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's been my pleasure to be on the board. And, you know, you took a big risk in saying yes to my idea for the Beljanski Integrative Cancer Conference. So, you know, without your ability as a leader to see that trust in me and the vision, and then you know, really helping bring the team together and the resources and everything to make the conference happen, you know, without that, it wouldn't have happened. But what we saw was that...
You are too kind. You are giving me credit when you came with the idea and the
well,
project.
You deserve credit as well, for sure. And everybody involved. I mean, there was a lot of us that made it happen, right? But the cool thing was that for a first year conference, you know, we had, I think, around 400 attendees or dozens of exhibitors, a lot of speakers. I mean, high level speakers. These are people that normally don't go to a first year conference, because let's be honest, first year conferences are kind of hit or miss. It depends on who's producing it and what's behind it and the intention, the energy. But I mean, literally everybody said this is one of the best conferences they've ever been to. They had, you know, they were so impressed with the high quality vendors that were there. They were so impressed with, you know, just the energy, the people and all the speakers and presentations, you know, the movement, the activities that were done. So, you know, and we were able to fund, you know, it's a nonprofit conference, so we were able to fund the breast cancer stem cell research project, which was, you know, a huge success from it. And it was so successful, it was like, well, yeah, we have to do it again, right? So that's why we're doing it in Austin in April 2025.
Yeah. I think indeed, I mean, we are very glad to see it was a success, and you can never know before you do it if it's going to work. But I mean, the good thing and the chance odds were, I mean, good that we would make it a success, because you and me, we have been in this area of integrative medicine for 4 years. We have created a platform. We have the resource network of people who know us, who trust us, who appreciate what you have been doing through your filming. Also, you're an award film director. The Beljanski Foundation also has years of funding research with natural compounds, getting everything published, communicating around this research. So we were not like newbies starting, you know, jumping on a new project. Right. I think it was like the coming together of people who are already pretty knowledgeable in this field and recognized by their peers, and that's why it worked so well.
I have to tell you, it's so amazing how God works, how the universe works, how the divine spirit works in our lives. Because, over a decade ago, I started producing cancer conferences in San Diego, which is where I basically, learned, well, leading up to that, events leading up to that, and then the culmination of those events was like how to create events that are life-changing, not just go and sit and take a bunch of notes and go home and feel exhausted at the end of it and overloaded and don't know what to do, but literally, create an environment where people come and they transform their life, they have new connections, they create community, they have new tools and resources, they feel empowered. We work on the nervous system, so it's very experiential, like so that people leave feeling uplifted, invigorated, like, wow, this was such an amazing event. So I had years of experience over a decade ago doing the same thing, and then those got put on the background. And I never thought I'd ever produce, a cancer conference again until I joined the board. And I think I told you because as I was volunteering on the board, and I'd been working with you for maybe a year, going on maybe the second year, and I just started having this idea. I knew it was a God-inspired idea. It was like, what do we do to really raise the funds and the awareness for this important cancer research into these natural solutions for cancer, these herbal solutions for cancer, and really get the word out there? And I just kept having this idea, conference, conference, conference. And I'm like, I think I told you, I think I held on to it for a couple of months without bringing it up to the board because I was like, I don't know if I want to do that again. And then I finally brought it up and we talked about it, and there was a lot of back and forth for a few months, and then we kind of reluctantly went ahead with it, and I think it
I'm
clearly
very
was the
glad.
right it
Very
clearly
glad.
was a divine inspiration, because it was the right outcome.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was. I mean, I was like, ah, it's a big responsibility to say
Yeah.
yes to this huge project. But I knew also. I felt deep down that it was the right thing to do. And
Yeah.
we did
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, with all the risk and everything involved, that's why I'm saying you deserve as much credit, because without you saying yes and getting fully behind it, it never could have happened. So,
But it
thank you to
was beautiful.
you and the team and everybody. And so for the next one coming up, just so everybody knows, mark your calendars, right, and go to integrativecancerconference.com. You do not want to miss this event. If you have an interest in learning how to prevent cancer using natural, holistic, integrative methods, or you haven't interested in helping your body or somebody else heal from cancer using natural methods, integrative methods, holistic methods, methods that are proven, evidence-based from, the top doctors and health professionals on the planet, then you absolutely need to be at this conference. And it's a nonprofit conference. It's supporting a good cause of stem cell research for prostate cancer. It's April 25th through the 27th. Go to integrativecancerconference.com. All the details are there. We will see you there. Let us know if you have questions on that as well. You can reach out. But Sylvia, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about your book as well, Winning the War on Cancer, because I think you would agree with me if I say the war on cancer today, in my opinion, has more to do with information. It's an information war more than anything. Would you agree with that?
Yes, in a way. I mean, the information thing, for a very long time, there was kind of deficit of information. People were not aware of what was available. And then came the internet, and there was kind of too many information everywhere. And the information, in a way, got lost in some kind of noisy background where everybody was trying to push this, to push that, and then people did not know exactly what to believe. And that's why I think an institution like the foundation doing research, getting the research published in peer-reviewed papers, and sharing the scientific information, trying to make it available, is so important, because you don't want to, I mean, in this time of internet and social media, you see people pushing this, pushing that. And we go back a little bit in many ways to the time of snake oil and Rockefeller. And that's why it's, I think having doing the research. And getting published again in peer-reviewed papers is absolutely essential to making sure that valuable information gets to the hands of people. Some people are not stupid. They are able to make the difference. They are able to understand if you are, they are got, you know, pushed some hocus pocus, or if there is something really serious about it. And when there is a scientific publication published, and people can, you know, download it from the internet and share that with their doctor and ask the doctor, well, why not? Why should I use that? Since there is obviously some interesting research, show me the science why I would not use or add to my protocol this integrative approach. And then you are turning, completely turning the discussion. It's not about, no, the doctor saying, no, you know, nothing is proven. Don't mess with my chemotherapy stats, because doctors are, a lot of doctors of oncologists, they are, you know, on clinical trials, actually. They are getting paid to follow a number of patients on some clinical trial, and they need to provide statistics. And if you mess with the statistics, then, you know, the entire clinical trial, which are very expensive for pharmaceutical companies, are of no use. So that's why the doctors are trying to tell people, don't use this with chemotherapy, don't use herbs, don't use vitamins, don't take antioxidant, and so on. And but that's good for the stats, but is it good for you? That's not sure. And there is now a lot of research showing that some integrative medicine approach have absolutely makes sense to add them to a protocol of cancer, whether actually you take chemotherapy or not.
Yeah, and I and what I would say too, or kind of change my statement a little bit, is I think the war that people are unknowingly involved in is even beyond an information war, it's a disinformation war. And people are in this war and they don't even know it. And the reason being is some of the reasons that you stated, it's people just putting out all kinds of information out there. Some of it's evidence-based, some of it's not. Some of it's just anecdotal, for example. A lot of the diet changes and things that are going on right now, people pushing carnivore and all that, it's kind of very anecdotal. There's not a lot of evidence to back that up. And anecdotes are fine. They lead us towards, more and more truth, but they're not solid enough to say, yeah, this is what I need to base my whole practice on, right? But what we see in this disinformation war is that if you share information with people that goes against kind of the mainstream narrative, that you often get censored. I've had many videos taken down from social media, from YouTube, from Instagram, and so forth. And what'll happen is, when I'm sharing certain herbs and solutions and methodologies for cancer specifically, and they'll usually send me a message that said, this is misinformation. And when they allow me a chance to reply, I will reply with a list of dozens of studies to back it up. And most of the time, they don't allow me a chance to reply. One time, for whatever reason, when I replied and said, nope, I do not agree with this, I was able to send a whole list of references. They actually put that video back on. But since that time, they've never allowed me a chance to reply to that again. So the challenge is, we have all this evidence through the Beljanski Foundation. My colleague Sayergies has a website called Green Med Info, which has over 70,000 peer-reviewed studies linked to from the major journals that all have a reference in natural medicine for all kinds of diseases, right? We have thousands, tens of thousands of studies, probably many, many more, showing the effectiveness and safety of natural solutions, herbs, diet, lifestyle, meditation, fasting, sauna for cancer, diabetes, heart disease, you name it. And the problem is if it goes against kind of this blanket, CDC, WHO generalized recommendations, which are primarily funded by drug companies, and this
Absolutely.
collusion between drug companies and the federal government and the social media companies, there's a clear collusion between all of them, and you put out information that goes against what they're saying, which is use chemotherapy, use radiation, use surgery, use our drugs, avoid natural methodologies. That's basically on blanket covering it. And you go against that, and they delete your information. They call it misinformation. And so it is literally, they say we're putting out disinformation. They are literally putting out the disinformation and blocking valid information from getting out to people. So even though I don't like the term war, like fighting against others, I mean, we are, if we want to help others with the work that we do and the work that you do, it's like we're kind of sucked into that war no matter what, because they're fighting us. I'm not really trying to fight them. I don't really care about them. All I care about is getting real information out to really help people, and then they attack you in doing that. So it becomes this kind of battle, which sucks, to be honest.
But your story with getting videos taken down, I mean, it's true, but it's a little thing compared to what happened to my father in France 50 years ago. He was a PhD in molecular biology at the very prestigious Pasteur Institute. His research has been funded for decades by the French government. And when they did not like the results, because he turned to natural compounds and showed they were more effective without toxicity, they were selective in their action at killing cancerous cells, they did not like it. What did they do? They destroyed the laboratory, they destroyed my father, they basically poisoned him and he died. And they did that very violently with sending a SWAT team with machine guns, drugs, everything. It was a big, huge, aggressive, life-taking thing. It was a murder. So, I mean, I don't want to minimize the fact that you are, a video taken down, and this should not be accepted. We should not settle. I mean, oh, it's okay because it could be worse. But this is my point is that this is not new, and it's not just happening in America. The power of pharmaceutical companies, the monopoly on medicine, goes back to the beginning of the 19th century. It goes back to the beginning of chemistry used in medicine, because everything used to be natural. I mean, in the days until the advent of chemistry, and then patent law, which allowed pharmaceutical companies to make a lot of money on their new chemical formulas. And since they became very rich, they loved the power that comes with it, and they want to destroy everything that could take a little away, chip away a little bit of their power. Also, each product individually, when you are sourced naturally, is so difficult to source that none of them will be able to compete at the global level to pharmaceutical companies. But they just don't want you to know that you have an option.
What happened to your father is absolutely horrific. And for people who don't know, that's Dr. Miracle Biljansky, right? And he was a very famous French scientist. I mean, he was actually providing, he was helping the who was the president, the French president at the time, who was
Yes,
battling with
François.
cancer, right?
François Mitterrand, yeah. Actually, it was because he was already well known that he was, he had published 133 peer-reviewed papers. So he had really working with a network of doctors who were having very good results with the product. So it was success growing and growing that caught the attention of Mitterrand's mistress. When he was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer at the beginning of his second term. At the time, there was no internet, so the disease of the president had been able, they had been able to keep that secret during the first term. But at the beginning of the second term, he was so sick that there was no way to hide that from the public. So the got, an official doctor who said that he's mostly gone. We are going to put him on morphine. We are going to prepare the country for early elections. And then there was this lady who knew of a doctor who had good results on prostate cancer by using my father's products, and decided to have him come to the French White House and to Mitterrand started to take the products, and very quickly he started to get better. And then, because he was a president, it was very, very public that doing something natural was yielding better results than the official treatment. And that's when the war started against my father from unknown officials, because you never get a name. It's always low-level people who are following orders coming from God knows where, and it's very difficult to get to the bottom of it. What I can say is, I was a lawyer. I was working as a lawyer at the time. It was before I decided to dive in and devote my life to carry my father's legacy. But my first reaction as a lawyer was to say, well, we are going to take the case to the European Court of Human Rights. And it was very intimidating for a young lawyer to go to the European Court of Human Rights, take your own government to court. But it was actually a very easy win because they never cared about defending themselves, explaining themselves.
Isn't that so disheartening to hear that our governments will attack our own citizens, even those who are doing incredible work like proving natural cures for cancer, destroy their laboratory, destroy their family, put them in prison, kill them, don't give them their day in court, and yet be so smug about it to think, well, we can just do all that. We don't even have to clean up after ourselves. We don't really have to try. Nobody's going to come after us for this. We're the government, right? Nobody can come after us. And if they do, who cares, right? Because you took them to court. You proved that what they did was wrong and unjust, and you won. And yet, what happened? Like, you don't get your father back. You don't, I don't think you won some, I don't know what you won, actually. I don't know if we ever talked about it.
My mom received a little bit of money. Yes,
Yeah, your mom received some money, and then what? Like, do they change
nothing,
their
nothing.
ways? The new laws get passed? Do those people get put in prison? Like, what else happens, right? Like, what can you do? Yeah.
Nothing. And that's why I said, okay, that's not enough. I have to do more. And that's why I started the Beljanski Foundation. And my father, I realized my father was not the only one or the first one. Those things do happen in many countries, and there have been a lot of researchers who actually get indicted, disappear, get killed, when their research is about to be confirmed. And in the case of my father, like so many others, they said, they used to say, well, it's not proven, he's a crazy guy, and his research have not been confirmed by anybody. And that's why what I wanted to do with the Beljanski Foundation is first to confirm his work. And do that in a way that would not be could not be discussed. I mean, I went to Columbia University, I went to Kansas University Medical Center, I went to Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I wanted the research to be done. I wanted the results, scientific results, to be put, clearly shown, and everything to be published in peer-reviewed papers. That was really, and that's how it started, the Beljanski Foundation. And then I said, okay, now that we have those publications, we need to communicate about it. We need to make them available to people. So the project grew, and grew from there. But the case of my father is not isolated, and taking down videos is actually the mild way in an ocean of actions to fight and destroy and diminish the visibility of everything natural here.
So, do you think this this intense viral cold flu thing that I've had for this past week, and this half of hearing out of this ear I have right now, that could be someone trying to disrupt me from doing this work?
No, I think you got a
You can hear the
vibe.
cough. It's been really nasty. No, obviously not. But you clearly aren't afraid. Because you've been doing this for 20 years, right? The Beljanski Foundation is over 20 years old now, isn't it? 20.
So my father died in 98, and I started the foundation in here in New York in 99. It's a 501c3, and I've been adding projects upon project ever since then. I mean, scientific research projects, then the book, then there was my Winning the War on Cancer. I used the word war because indeed I felt it was a war against the government. And then the Beljanski Integrative Cancer Conference, which is a wonderful way to get integrative minds, a lot of knowledge together, and share it again with a larger public, a different public, that what was not going maybe to read the publications, but to get the information nevertheless. There is my own podcast, and try to share the information. That's the way to go, and to continue to fight. I mean, as you said, they don't want you to have the information. They are taking down the videos. So we have to continue, one way or another, try to find the proper wording of the title of the video. Maybe, go to other networks where there will be a need. I believe that if we are enough of us, to create a public, to create a demand, the means will come.
You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljanski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljanski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljanski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code Panacea15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show. Yeah, it's true. And that's what we're seeing. More and more people waking up to alternative solutions for their health, right? And you and I agree. I mean, we're not 100% against conventional medicine. I mean, there's a time and place for surgery, there's a time and place for chemo, radiation. The problem is that we see, and the doctors we work with, and the scientists we work with, and the patients that we deal with see on a daily basis, is that those treatments are often overprescribed, overused, used in cases when they shouldn't be, used in cases at end of life care, which brings up tremendous ethical repercussions and ethical conversations, because it's like somebody's given 2 months left to live, right? And then a doctor prescribes health, completely health destroying chemotherapy and say, well, maybe this will save your life.
Not
When
going
you know
to
that the
school
side
again.
effects, that person's already suffering, and the side effects alone can kill that person and not and destroy the quality of their life for those next 2 months.
Absolutely. I mean, what's the point of putting them through hell to rather than letting them die quietly? And the answer, unfortunately, is money.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
That
there's, you know, there was a 2008 study from the UK. They had more than 600 cancer patients who died within 30 days of receiving chemotherapy, and the treatment was found to have probably caused or hastened death in 27% of those cases. Over a quarter of those people, they were found to have probably caused their death or speed up their death, because they died within 30 days of receiving chemotherapy. That's what the authors wrote. And they also wrote 43% of all the patients suffered significant treatment-related toxicity. So almost half of them suffered significant treatment-related toxicity, and a quarter of them were believed to have died from the chemotherapy itself. There was a recent study in 2023 as well, published in Nature's Blood Cancer Journal, showed a range between 12% to 29% of cancer patients receiving chemotherapy had died within 4 weeks of treatment. And it raised serious questions and concerns about the ethical implications of recommending chemotherapy to patients at the end of life care. I mean, if almost 30% of cancer patients who receive chemotherapy and they're dying within 4 weeks of receiving it, I mean, isn't that a major ethical dilemma? Knowing that it's going to destroy the immune system, it's going to, cause chronic pain, all kind. I mean,
Yes, but it
the
is
symptoms from
this.
chemotherapy are insane, right? They are
But the
everything from, vomiting, chronic joint pain, flu-like symptoms, weakened immune system, kidney problems, loss of memory, brain damage, and even death. So, yes,
but
we know that
from
chemotherapy can, has been shown to support upwards of 40% of cancer patients, according to their statistics. So chemotherapy does have a role to play, but we have to take these other things into account as well. If it's destroying your health and your life and causing death, then people need to have alternative options, which they are not given to them by their conventional oncologist, because their conventional oncologist is not trained in the information that you and I and the doctors we work with are trained in.
What is important to understand is that it is the pharmaceutical companies which have defined the gold standard of care. So,
Right.
of course, they are defining that by with the use of their products and as much as possible of their products. And doctors are terrified if they do not follow the gold standard of care defined by a collusion of pharmaceutical companies and insurances. And that's the way official medicine goes. Now, even for people who are, I mean, we totally agree for people on the end, terminal cancer and end of their life. I mean, they should not be given something harsh and toxic for their own good. But even for people who are, young and able to withstand chemotherapy, this is so toxic and can be so damaging that the only way to really handle it properly is to add a number of natural compounds, a proper diet, and that can help mitigate the side effects. Otherwise, you are not learning anything. You are just sick and not learning anything. Well, the real journey to healing. I mean, you educate yourself about the possibilities of treatment. You make a choice you are going to be comfortable with, whether it con includes chemotherapy, radiation, or not. What you have to, most important is to be comfortable with the choice of your treatment. If you are not in alignment with your choice, I mean, you are not, this is going to go to a disaster. And then you have to try to understand what made you think in the first place. Is it the way you are eating? I mean, a lot of the American food, it is a real disaster laced with chemicals, causing chemicals. And you really have to, there is a lot to read about it, a lot one can learn about it. And that just changing your diet can be a life-changing experience and a way to recovery. And then there is not, unfortunately, not just the food, but also the quality of the water you are drinking. There is the way you are living, your own home is living, is sitting. I mean, can be on a very toxic environment. And we see sometimes those clusters of cancer where everybody has developed the same kind of cancer. Well, maybe, there is some radon in your basement or something like that. It is absolutely worth investigating all those things. And try to change your way of life to something more sustainable, more healthy, and you will change not only your own life but probably the one of your family. Not long ago on my podcast, I had two people coming. It was they spoke as a couple. I mean, they were traditional Middle West family. Loving, beautiful family, but living on junk food. And he was diagnosed with colon cancer, stage 3, and offered chemotherapy. And he said, well, God spoke to me, and I decided not to do that. I did not know exactly why, but I felt it was not the right path for me. And they did their own research. They ended up in Mexico in a Mexican clinic with Hope for Cancer, where they went together and they learned about green food, proper food. They came back, they changed completely the way the family is living. They learned about the proper dietary supplements. They learned a lot of things, and And now, I mean, he has been 2 years, he's cancer free, and he has no cancer cells circulating in his blood. So he was very happy to share that with me on my podcast. But I think this is really, I said, I mean, this is a gift for you, but also for your children. There are 4 or 5 children to be able, because those children, instead of being raised on Doritos, they are going now raised on greens. And that's going to make a difference for their, as an adult, so how healthy those adults are going to be, by how able they are going to raise their own families also. So it's a gift that keeps giving, education.
It's so true. The amount of people that I've had the pleasure to meet and learn from over the past, 12 plus years who have told me their stories on how they reverse cancer. Every single one of them that I've spoken to, they implemented a holistic approach, but on the diet front, cutting out the processed foods, cutting out the processed sugars, adding in 4 or 5, 6 servings of vegetables every day, 4 or 5 servings of fruit and berries every day. Whole grains, legumes, organic soy products, fresh green vegetable juices, carrot juices, cutting out the white flour, white sugar, white pasta, white bread. Dr. Furman always says to me, he says, the whiter the bread, the faster you're dead, right? Because it's so processed that there's no fiber there, and it just turns right to glucose in your bloodstream and spikes your insulin. And carbohydrates are not the enemy. Carbohydrate in their whole form, in the fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds and beans, it's not many carbohydrates in nuts and seeds, but in legumes and all these, in the whole form, that's very good for us with the fiber, with the nutrients, vitamins, minerals. And, I've heard so many stories, stage 4 colon cancers and stage 4 lymphomas and leukemias, right? That they said, no, I'm not doing chemotherapy. I'm not doing radiation. I'm not going to destroy my body with that. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to have a deeper spiritual connection with God. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to sauna. I'm going to detox. And they do all these things. And then I hear their story 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later. And they're thriving in their 60s, 70s, almost 80s, saying, I changed my whole life. And I kind of just forgot about the cancer. And eventually it went away and my whole life improved, And so those stories are so beautiful to hear. And you find you eventually, when you talk to enough people and enough doctors, like you and I have, and enough patients, and you ask the same questions again and again and again and again, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, you'd be an idiot not to find the patterns, right? You'd be an idiot to not discover, oh, okay, if you do these 10 things really well, basically your odds of getting better are gonna, maybe be 1,000 times than if you don't do any of those things.
The role of the dietary supplements that, I mean, we have been working with very successfully at the Belzhansky Foundation for the past few years, and that's really stemmed from my father's research, Paupera and Revolfia vomitoria. They have been shown to really induce apoptosis of cancerous cells selectively without healthy cells. So they are really destroying cancerous cells and work at the cellular level. But I keep.
I'm gonna say those again for people who've never heard them because I know they're a tongue twister. Paupereria is one of them, and that one's from the Amazon, right?
Yes, correct.
And Revolfia vomitoria, which comes, I believe, out of Africa.
Africa, yes,
And that
absolutely.
one, you can't just take that herb by itself because it has a toxic component. It
Yeah,
has
you
to
have to.
be extracted properly to get the anti-cancer
Absolutely.
properties. That's one of the things your father discovered, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And both are powerful anti-cancer agents. I keep saying to people, those compounds are going to give you time. Now, what are you going to do with your time? If you go back to same old, eventually, I mean, the disease is going to come back and you are fighting a losing war. You really have to take this time to educate yourself, change your life in a way which is sustainable. Sustainable by the way you eat, and also by with the emotions. This is really, really important for living in harmony with yourself.
Now, your father also discovered four types of green tea that had incredible anti-cancer properties, right? And wasn't it your mother that was helped to revive these from his laboratory? Because or your mother found them written down on a notepad. It was one of the things that wasn't destroyed in his laboratory.
Yes, you know, my father came up with this test to make the difference between the DNA of cancer cells and the DNA of healthy cells. And then he tested a number of compounds to see how they were affecting cancerous cells and healthy cells. And that test allowed him to come up to really select a number of compounds that were highly effective at destroying cancerous cells without negative effect on healthy cells. So, I mean, the king for my father was Pau Pereira, as you mentioned, coming from the Amazon rainforest, and Rolfia vomitoria without reserpine, which is more specialized for hormonal cancer. But he also tested indeed a number of teas and selected four of them for their anti-cancer properties. But he was very busy and did not have time to really research deeply the teas. And that stayed, you know, this list, short list, stayed on a piece of paper that was left on the floor after the SWAT team came and just raided the laboratory. And the secretary came and tried to put some order in the room. She kept, you know, the papers that were on the floor, put that on the box. The box stayed in her garage for about 20 years. And then she decided it was time to let go of the garage. And she sent me the box to New York. And then I was just at that time where I was looking to open Maison Beljanski. And I was told by the New York board of, you know, the zoning board that I needed to open Maison Beljanski as a food and drink establishment. Just at that time, I received this box of paper with a list of my teas that my father tested for their anti-cancer properties. And I was like, oh yes, but of course, I am going to open Maison Beljanski as a tea room and serve those four teas. And I wanted to know how effective they were at destroying cancer cells compared to other teas. So we made a mix of those four teas and we sent them to Kansas University Medical Center together with some Lipton, some Bigelow, and some Kusmi teas. And we asked them to test all those teas against breast cancer cells. And the mix of the four teas that my father had selected was much more efficient than all the other teas at destroying breast cancer cells. So we went on with metastatic breast cancer cells. And it was amazing because the mix of my father's teas seemed to be even more effective on metastatic breast cancer cells, as if the more aggressive the cells, the more effectiveness those little teas were showing.
And all these studies are at beljanski.org. Here's the green tea one. You can go Beljanski ingredients, green teas. But all the history that's here, all the benefits, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, anti-cancer, your father's work about it, the anti-cancer properties, the publications on the teas. You put the four together into something you call OncoTea, right? Which is through your supplement company, Maison Belgiense. It's separate than the foundation. But those four are these ones: Ceylon Green, Bylaocoon, Gunpowder, and Dragonwell.
Yeah, and they have to be sourced organically because there is a lot of toxicities and can come with green leaves if they are
Yeah.
not organic.
Yeah, you don't want all the pesticides and
Yeah,
herbicides
exactly.
and cancer-causing chemicals on the anti-cancer teas that you're trying to help your body with.
Absolutely.
But that's one of the things I love about this website. All the research projects at belgiansky.org, anyone can go and find all of the research that's been published, all the history, your
Yes.
father's history. That now, since you've had the foundation almost 25 years now, I think I've counted. You yourself have published how many studies now?
Well, I think we are somewhere between 15 and 20
Yeah,
now.
I think it was close, counting close to 20 from what I saw,
Yeah.
which is amazing for a small nonprofit that is, going up against these giant. Most cancer studies, let's be honest, they are funded by pharmaceutical companies trying to sell their drugs to make billions of dollars, so they can spend millions, tens of millions of dollars easily at the blink of an eye for these studies, right? And for a nonprofit like the Belgiansky Foundation to raise funds, to do a study, even a small scale study for a few hundred thousand dollars, like that's not an easy thing. Even these huge nonprofit foundations are saying, we're finding a cure to cancer, the pink ribbon for cancer, all these big that generate millions and millions of dollars. Guess what those studies are supporting? They're not looking at natural compounds that can actually stop cancer and not hurt your body. They are also collaborating with the pharmaceutical companies to support drug research.
They are funded basically by pharmaceutical companies. So,
Right.
yeah, which are big donors of those feel-good organization that keep people, having hope and marching and all those things. I mean, the hopes, the marches for breast cancer are going back to 1985, to the 80s. So,
And how many cures have they found from those
and
apparently
people.
$2.7 billion of fundraising for some of these for breast cancer, for example, right? How many
And
cures
people.
that they promised have actually been found?
It's still the number one, cause of the cancer, death from cancer with women. So, it's whatever they have found, I mean, is not really working. Their solution is, I mean, pushing people to more and more diagnostic with mammograms, which is, rather than all other kind of issues. But yes, early diagnostic makes generally the disease easier to cure. And but over diagnosis is not the way to go, except again for statistics, because you can say, well, we cured so many cancer, when in fact there was no cancer in the first place. So that's good for statistics, but definitely
Right.
not for women who get, their breast radiated and biopsied and whatever.
Well, according to Google's AI tool, since 1980, the Susan G. Komen organization has raised over $3 billion for breast cancer research, community outreach, advocacy, and public policy initiatives.
So
$3
last.
billion, right? And how closer are we to a quote unquote pharmaceutical cure for breast cancer? What did the study cost us through the Belgiansky Foundation? A couple hundred thousand dollars for the breast cancer stem cell research project we're doing, which has incredibly promising a promising outlook for showing that these natural plant extracts may actually destroy breast cancer stem cells.
Yeah.
Right. And
So
we
I think
paid maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars for that study.
yeah.
We're talking billions of dollars for what? Pharmaceutical drugs that,
And I think it's important to explain what cancer stem cells are
Yeah.
and why it is so important to research them. So there are a number of compounds, I mean, chemical, natural which are destroying cancer cells. But the number of compounds destroying cancer stem cells is much more limited. And cancer stem cells are those cells which are kind of embryonic cells and are resistant to chemotherapy. So the doctor is saying, oh, you are doing well, your tumor is shrinking, you are responding well to the treatment, all good. And in fact, the chemotherapy has destroyed the least aggressive cells. The most aggressive, the young ones, the embryonic one, are still maybe still in the blood and circulating in the blood, and may very well create a new tumor, a metastasis in the months or years to come. Actually, one in out of six cancer is expected to come back, and when the cancer comes back, unfortunately, it comes back with a vengeance. It's a very aggressive one on a body which has been diminished because of the first round of aggressive treatments.
You said one out of six of what type of cancer is expected to
Oh,
come back?
cancers are
All
coming
cancer
back.
after chemotherapy and radiation.
So what we have seen with Paupera and Revolfia vomitoria over the years is that those little compounds, plant extracts, are very effective against a different kind of cancer, alone and with chemotherapy, and also different stages of cancer, from inflammation to full-blown cancer to advanced cancers that do not respond to hormonal treatment, for example. And then with the next stage was to look at cancer stem cells. So we had a study already on ovarian and pancreatic cancer stem cells. It was a small study because, I mean, it's a small foundation. We don't have a lot of money, but it was extremely positive. So we decided, with your support, to create this fundraising event in Jacksonville, the first Belzhansky Integrative Cancer Conference, to fund a larger research study on breast cancer stem cells. And I am pleased to report today that the in vitro part, which was a phase one, has been achieved. I mean, the results are extremely interesting, and we have started the phase two, the animal study, so that we should have that on time to present in Texas, at Austin, Texas. And I hope the result of this study is going to give a lot of hope to many, many women, because I you have cancer is a devastating little sentence, but cancer came back. Sorry, we are here. You are here again. Is maybe even worse.
Yeah, it's exciting because, having natural solutions that get at stem cells, breast cancer stem cells, prostate cancer stem cells, you name it, getting at the stem cells, which allows more cancer cells to be formed. Even if you're killing the cancer cells with chemotherapy and radiation, but you're not getting the cancer stem cells because we know they're resistant to chemotherapy and radiation, then that cancer can come back with a vengeance, as we talked about, and now you have a weakened immune system. This is pretty wild for people who don't know this. I mean, look at these statistics. After treatment, the cancer recurrence rates within, breast cancer within 2.5 years, for example, 7 to 13%. Prostate cancer recurrence rate, this is after, standard treatment of care, chemotherapy, radiation surgery. Prostate cancer, 25% of patients. Even after a prostatectomy, right? You still get prostate cancer. 20, a quarter of people. Lung cancer, 30 to 75%. Rectal cancer, 20 to 50%. Almost half, up to half of people will have cancer again following traditional therapy. Colon cancer, 33%. Cervical, 35%. Hodgkin's lymphoma, 10 to 13%. DLBCL, 30 to 40%. Pancreatic cancer, 36%. within 1 year after surgery. I mean, a lot of these are the flip of a coin, right? Between a quarter to a half melanoma, 15 to 41%. NSCLC, 26% after curative surgery. So you've been told your cancer is cured, you had surgery, right? Well, sorry, we didn't tell you. You have a 26% chance that actually it's going to come back and you weren't cured at all. It's like, what? Ovarian, 85% recurrence rate. Glioblastoma, this is brain cancer, nearly 100% recurrence rate after treatment. If you have a near 100% recurrence rate, how can you agree to destroy your brain and your body and your immune system knowing that it's probably going to come back? It's
And what I would like to.
desperation, right? It's desperation. Bladder cancer, 30% to 54%. I mean, when you're told you have cancer, you're in extreme fear. You don't know anything about it. You don't know what caused it. You're rushed into treatments and you're told, this is our plan. This is what we have for you. Let's go. And most people just rush into it out of fear, and understandably so. But what we teach our clients and patients is you have to take a step back. You have to get the information. You have to read the resources. Read Sylvie's book. Watch my docuseries on conquering cancer. Read my book, Becoming Cancer Free. Talk to integrative doctors. Get a second, third, fourth opinion. Take your time educating yourself before you rush into any life-altering treatment plan. And, you know, cancer's been forming in your body for years, sometimes decades. You could take a few extra weeks or even a couple of months in most cases to educate yourself and then make an educated decision for your treatment plan that you feel comfortable and confident in.
But you know, based on the statistics that you just shared about the recurrence of cancer, I think it's criminal for not, I mean, to offer a treatment that will not address cancer stem cells.
Right.
And what happens because chemotherapy and radiotherapy are not addressing cancer stem cells, a lot of people go into those treatments without understanding that they are not destroying all cancer cells. And I think nobody should wait until the diagnosis of recurrence to learn about cancer stem cells. You want from day one of the diagnosis to start fighting your cancer with in a way that is not going to diminish your immune system and the strength of your body. You want to take the time you need with supporting yourself with natural compounds that will help you fight cancer cells. Take the time to do the research. Take the time to take a doctor you will be able to communicate with, which is not going to wave you away in 10 minutes without listening to you. And you want to take the time to get into a comfortable place where you will be with your plan of action and this, because cancer can be a life-changing event, not necessarily in a negative way. It can be a wake-up call, and that's the best outcome.
Yeah, how many people have we talked to over the years that said cancer is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me? You know, I've heard that from so many people. And that's not always the first thought when you're diagnosed with cancer, but it usually comes years later when you've done the personal development work, the spiritual work, and you realize, wow, this was a wake-up call. This forced me to look at my life, look at my emotions, look at my physical health, my diet, nutrition, my relationships, and say, what's really important to me? What really am I here on this planet for, right? And what am I here to do? What is my soul calling me to do? What is God calling me to do? And when we look at it that way, through that lens of, I believe Dr. Tony says, you know, what is cancer for? What is this doing? Actually, Dr. Francisco Contreras said this in my film is, you know, not why me, but what for? What is this for? What is this cancer here to teach me, to show me? And we could use that for any challenge in our life. I mean, I've dealt with some serious shoulder injuries, And once I let go of, okay, I can't do the sport I want to do anymore. This sucks. I'm in pain all the time. I'm not getting what I want to do and I have to sit around. And once I got past the wham, 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 me, me, and went inside and said, okay, God, what is this about? What is this for? And then it became clear. It was like, you need to do this, this, and this. You need to spend more time in your meditations, in your spiritual research, with your kids at their sports and all the things they're doing. It's like, you need to put this other stuff aside and put your time and attention more in these areas. And once I realized that, I had that insight and the acceptance of it, it was like, oh, that weight is lifted off my shoulders. And I said, okay, that's what this is for, and then I can accept it. And it's helping me and my spiritual path and my life be a more fulfilled human being. And that's the same thing we have to do with cancer or with anything that we're dealing with, right? It's not easy, but it is a beautiful thing that happens when you have that revelation.
Yeah, personally, I have to say that how sad and traumatic was what happened to my father. Having the opportunity to switch from a legal career to being in charge of the Beljanski Foundation has been a blessing. It has given me so much meaning to my life. I realized that maybe it happened because I was the right person at the right place and at the right moment to create this foundation and carry on with this legacy. But the fulfillment to be able to get this research done, share the results, see people coming, sending me those thank you notes on a regular basis. This is priceless.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Now I just have to figure out what the higher purpose is for this ear being clogged with water for the last 5 days, and I can only hear halfway out of it. And while I also have this cold that's taken over my immune system, it's been a big challenge for sure. But forcing me, I mean, it's a small. Let's put it in context. It's a small challenge. We get a cold or a flu, we feel sick, whatever. But it's still a small, it's still an awakening opportunity to go, okay,
Maybe you should take some RNA fragments, the little real built under the tongue, a little bit of powder, and that helps all your immune system because it helps your bone marrow to create white blood cells and platelets. It will give you a boost in your own immune system to fight the enemy.
Yeah, the RNA fragments. I actually did. I took a couple bottles of those, probably 4 or 5 months ago. So,
So it's
it'd be
one,
good. It'd be good to take them
it's
again
for
now.
like 1 or 2 a week and not more than that.
Yeah, one or two vials a week.
Yes, not
Yeah, I
more.
think I was taking one every like few days or something like
Yeah,
that.
that's perfect. Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
so I have to get some
You
more then.
should.
I should have known that. I should have been taking them as soon as this thing hit last week. So I'll have to get some more. The RNA fragments from
Yeah,
Nate
the
Stone.
commercial name is Beljanski. Sorry, the commercial name is Real Built, and it's really RNA fragments from bacteria, which is naturally present in your intestine. And those nutrients are those that your bone marrow needs to create white blood cells and platelets. And the white blood cells are really the core of your immune system, and help to fight bacteria, viruses, everything, because think of the immune system as a little army of different cells that each one has a function. And because it is your bone marrow which is going to create a new generation of those cells, it's going to be a replenished army with all the kind of little soldiers that you need.
So this is a real build,
Yeah.
and basically it's made from ribonucleic extract of E. coli K12. So how explain that? How does taking an RNA extract of the bacteria E. coli,
Okay. First, it's E. coli K12, which is known to be non-mutagenic and non-pathogenic. So it's not the same kind of E. coli, what you hear, Listeria outbreak or whatever. No, it's not the same. There are a lot of different kind of E. coli. It's like, saying a dog. I mean, there are small chihuahuas and there are huge dogs. No. E. coli K12 is again
Apparently, there's
not
700
dangerous.
different types of E. coli.
Yeah, and how
And
does
they're not all, to be clear, they're not all bad. They're not all mutagenic. They're not
and
all.
K12 is naturally present in your gut. Your gut, my gut, we have K12, E. coli K12. Present now. And my father thought of, how the body, how is the immune system creating the cells, all the leukocytes, all the white blood cells that are fighting against the bacteria, viruses, recognizing them and helping the body to cope by eating up the bad agents that are able to enter our bodies. And those white blood cells are created at the level of the bone marrow. How is the bone marrow feeding itself in order to do that? Well, it's because of the nutrients that are in the gut and are absorbed through the intestine to the blood, and the blood brings that to the bone marrow. So my father said, why not creating a shortcut? Because sometimes, the gut can be damaged, especially if you are going under chemotherapy. Then if the gut is damaged, those nutrients are not going to be properly absorbed at the level of the blood and then carried to the bone marrow. So the bone marrow is not able to do what it is supposed to do, which is created all those white blood cells. So my father said, let's give to the blood directly what it needs to provide to the bone marrow those nutrients. So he came up with those little RNA fragments, which have to be taken under the tongue, so they go directly. They are not absorbed by the intestines. They are absorbed directly without almost saliva, and they go directly into the blood. And they are carried to the bone marrow, and the bone marrow use those little RNA fragments to prime the DNA of the healthy cells directly. They are really, think of them like the food that your bone marrow needs to create a new generation. And a new generation is created in 24 hours. So in 24 hours after you took this little powder under the tongue, you should have a normal amount of all the white blood cells and platelets that the body is normally producing.
You said within 24 hours of taking it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And they are not, you never create too many of them. They always stay in a physiological normal range, but they are extremely active.
Now, what happens? Let's say you said maybe take one of the vials, once or twice a week. So you go through the bottle, and then after that, does it support your body in continuing to produce its own platelets and white blood cells after using it? Or have you found that people have to use it like ongoing for a certain time, or what have you seen?
So it depends. Why don't you have a decent number of white blood cells and platelets?
I
Is
mean,
it
it could be an infection, right? It could be, I mean, there could be some kind
yeah,
of
so it can
metabolic issue going on.
chemotherapy is destroying white blood cells and platelets and so on. So if the cause disappear, Your bone marrow should be able to go back to normal. If the cause continues to be there, like, chemotherapy, 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 you have a series of chemotherapies, then every time you need to take again the RNA fragments to go back up again to a decent level and avoid thrombocytopenia. We had a clinical trial with that product at Cancer Treatment Centers of America with patients who were at the verge of thrombocytopenia, which is a loss of platelets induced by chemotherapy. And all those patients, we were taking the RNA fragments, none of them developed thrombocytopenia. Every time their white blood cells was back to normal on time for the chemotherapy. So none of them had to stop their chemotherapy. And the doctor was actually pretty impressed with that. Without side effects, without toxicity, because it is really food for
Yeah.
the bone marrow.
That's incredible. Yeah, I haven't done extensive research on this. This is just Google's AI tool, so I wouldn't, but I can share this, things that can cause bone marrow damage, lowering the white blood cell production can be cancer treatments, as you talked about, chemotherapy, radiation, autoimmune disorders, exposure to toxic chemicals, pesticides, insecticides. Benzene, things like that can damage bone marrow. Viral infections, as I said, I know infections can damage bone marrow or cause problems with it. Pregnancy, blood-related cancers, nutritional deficiencies, even folic acid, vitamin B12 deficiencies, HIV, certain cancers can cause bone marrow disorders. So looking at some, cleaning up some of these areas that, like we've been talking about, right? In addition to something like taking real build. So but yeah, so that's a good thing to know where you can boost, like even if your white blood cells are healthy, your bone marrow is healthy, but you feel a cold or something coming on, I could take something like real build to like boost my immune system to help fight it off, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And you can take that preventively before you are going to go in a crowded place where you are may be people who are sick in the close to you and so on.
I'll tell you what, whatever this thing that I got, whatever man-made laboratory COVID monster variation this is, it's one of the nastiest things I've ever had. And I've been hitting it 5 times a day with every natural solution that I know from, tons of vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, oregano, liquid oregano. I mean, I've been taking just so much stuff, quercetin, garlic, oh my gosh, so many things. Saunas,
What is
trying to
that?
sleep. Sleeping's been tough because the cough wakes me up, and it's been brutal. So I've been on top of it, believe me, but this thing, once it set its roots in, it was like, I'm not going anywhere. So now it's finally starting to make its way out. I can actually think okay today. The last few days, like the brain like just wasn't even working properly. But Sylvie, awesome having you on the podcast again. Thank you so much. Winning the War on Cancer is your book.
Yes.
That's on Amazon, your
Yeah.
website. Where can people get that and get in touch with you?
Thank you so much.
Yep. And so Winning the War on Cancer is on, so people can get that where books are sold. But what's the best website where people can connect more with you and your work as well?
Oh, well, the Belzhansky Foundation, belzhansky.org. That's where you can learn also about all the events and the newsletter and being in touch with everything we are doing. Thank
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have
very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.